Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Monday News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. I appreciate you tuning in. It has been a lovely spring day out there, and we have a lot of local news to catch you up on in terms of the fall semester when colleges, local colleges, taking a look ahead at what that could bring. Leadership for Duke University announced all students returning to its campus for the upcoming fall semester must have COVID-19 vaccinations before enrollment. In a message to the campus community on Friday, Duke President Vincent E. Price shared an update to their enrollment requirements, saying all new and returning students will need to present proof of vaccination to student health before approval to enroll for the fall 2021 semester. Those with documented medical exceptions and religious exemptions will be accommodated, said the Duke president, but he cited widespread vaccination as, quote, the only way to facilitate a return to normal and a robust campus life. Now, here in Chapel Hill, they are also hoping to return to that same thing, hoping for a traditional fall semester, but they have not made that vaccination requirement yet, partially because of their role within the UNC system and a lot of other moving parts as a public university compared to Duke as a private university. With rigorous COVID-19 precautions in place and students continuing to receive vaccines throughout the spring, though, university leaders recently said at an advisory committee meeting they look forward to welcoming nearly all students back on campus. 97.9 The Hill's Ava Pukach has more on their plans.
UNC is planning a return to normal campus operations by mid-July, allowing a month between students returning to campus in August and employees returning in July. During the summer session, most classes will remain remote, with select classes like labs meeting in person. Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said he understands the complications and frustrations of remote learning, but is looking ahead to seeing more students on campus.
Right now, we're sort of in that complicated time on our campus where we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're not yet at the end of the tunnel, but I'm confident that we're going to be able to get there.
One factor in reaching the light at the end of the tunnel is increased vaccinations. Through the campus vaccination clinic, more than 2,800 students have received a COVID-19 vaccine, not including other students receiving vaccinations elsewhere. UNC is currently not requiring its students and faculty to receive the vaccine, but is asking members of the community to self-report vaccination status. Guskowitz said students who are vaccinated are still required to test regularly in the Carolina Together testing program because of potential variants of the virus and more people coming to campus regularly.
Even if the majority of the classes are being taught remotely, our dining halls are still open, our libraries are open, the student rec centers, etc. And I think we will begin to see more people coming to campus, so we want to be sure that we can protect everyone.
The testing program, which has completed more than 150,000 COVID-19 tests over the semester, will continue into the summer with students living on campus testing twice per week and other students attending classes in person testing once per week. The university is working with UNC Health and the Orange County Health Department to determine what testing may look like in the fall.
If that testing program's in place for the fall, I'd be surprised if it looked the same way and had the same requirements that it does today. But if I were a betting man, I would say, yes, we're going to probably have that testing program available, and we're just going to have to wait to figure out exactly what the requirements would be.
For the fall semester, the university is planning for near full capacity of residence halls, with 7,500 students living on campus and one or two dorms available for quarantine or isolation. Guskowitz said in-person instruction will likely require students and instructors to wear masks as an extra precaution. The planned fall 2021 start date is August 18. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ava Pukach.
Also this past week, UNC's Advisory Committee on Renaming Campus Buildings met to briefly discuss submissions from the open call to rename the buildings previously called Acock Residence Hall, the Carr Building, and the Daniels Building. If you remember, the university's Board of Trustees removed those namesakes last July due to their ties to white supremacy. Now, the university has closed its open call for submissions and potential namesakes, and Chancellor Kevin Guskowitz said he expects the buildings to be renamed by the time the fall semester begins. It's been an unusual spring semester for UNC's resident advisors, partially because they don't have very many residents to advise on campus right now. Currently, dorms are about half full at UNC, and reports are RAs are struggling to build a sense of community on a socially distanced campus. Carolina Connections' Zach Engler has more.
In a normal year at UNC, resident advisors, or RAs, have a busy job straight from the get-go.
Right from the beginning is roommate agreements, so that's a huge chunk of the beginning. And then you're starting to plan programs, and you're on duty, and you're actually sitting at the desk, so you have to be physically present in the community.
Lindsay Cox is a junior at UNC who has been an RA for 2 years. When she started in her sophomore year, the job was very much hands-on.
So I think the responsibilities were definitely be present, get to know your residents, and like being in community.
As has been the case with many jobs during the pandemic, the responsibilities of RAs have changed. And according to Fahad Shah, a second year RA at UNC, they've changed a lot.
I think it's like almost a completely different job, but with the same purpose. The purpose is still to like try and create a sense of community. It's just that before that was, I don't want to say easier, it was just more normal.
Creating a sense of community among their residents is a big part of being a resident advisor. RAs normally do this through events such as ice cream socials, video game nights, or watch parties. Due to COVID protocols, these in-person programs have had to be put on hold. Many RAs are struggling to find new ways to get to know their residents.
How do you create a sense of community? Talk to people, have events, like eat with people, play games together, stuff like that. And now it has to be a lot more intentional. You have to actually go out of your way sometimes and do stuff. Before, it was a lot more passive.
Normally, RAs start the year by meeting residents to create roommate agreements, intended to head off disputes later. This year, nobody's sharing rooms, so there were no meetings. Nor do RAs man desks in dorm lobbies like they used to, depriving them of another opportunity to meet and socialize with residents.
It's a lot harder to get to know residents, especially because you don't want to like be present. You're not supposed to be out and about. So being a physical, welcoming face in the community has changed a lot.
For some communities, Cox tells me, the RAs themselves have grown very close. Now it's just about finding a way to get the residents involved in both a safe and entertaining manner. Some RAs have tried holding virtual events over Zoom and invited their residents to come and socialize safely, but these have not been as successful as in-person events. For many RAs, it seems to be like it's back to the drawing board to try to figure out how to create a community during a pandemic. From Chapel Hill, I'm Zach Engler.
Carolina Connection is a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media. If you want to listen to their full programs for more stories like that, be sure to tune in Saturday mornings at 8:30 right here on 97.9 The Hill through the spring semester. Time now for a look at sports. It was a busy weekend for Carolina Athletics, and we do still have some to come. The UNC baseball series against Duke had to be pushed back a day due to a delay on Friday, which means we have Carolina baseball action in just about an hour here on 97.9 The Hill once we wrap up the show. You're going to be able to hear the rubber match between the Diamond Heels and the Duke Blue Devils as Duke won the first game. Carolina took the second game yesterday. They are fighting it out for the series win tonight. In terms of a UNC baseball game scheduled for tomorrow, we have gotten word on that it is going to be postponed. It has been postponed, I should say. The Tar Heels were supposed to take on Charlotte, but Charlotte played a series down in Florida over the weekend and had some real trouble getting home from that one due to severe thunderstorms canceling a bunch of flights in that area. The team reportedly had to take a bus back to North Carolina from the Miami area. So for student welfare reasons, no baseball tomorrow, and no update at the moment of when that game will actually be made up. Taking a look at some other UNC programs that were in action over the weekend, the top-ranked UNC women's lacrosse team has looked great all year, but they faced their toughest challenge of the season on Saturday. Number 4, Notre Dame, hung tough with Carolina and played the Tar Heels pretty close all game, but behind Jamie Ortega's 5 goals, Carolina escaped South Bend with an 11-10 win and staying undefeated. The men's lacrosse program did not have that same kind of luck. They suffered their second straight loss on Saturday in another top 10 showdown. Number 3 Carolina hosted number 6 Virginia in a game that stayed pretty tight until the fourth quarter when the Cavaliers took control and ultimately won 18-16. The top-ranked women's tennis team had no problems in their match against Boston College on Sunday. They swept the Eagles and earned Carolina the regular season ACC title. It is the 7th conference title in the last 8 years for the Carolina program, and Sunday's win is their 40th consecutive dual match victory. Also on Sunday night, men's soccer wrapped up their spring season against Duke. A goal from Alex Rose ended up being the difference in favor of the Tar Heels, who won 1-0 and finished their regular season with a 7-4-3 record. In some other Carolina athletics news, non-score related, men's basketball senior standout Garrison Brooks entered his name into the transfer portal for his final season of eligibility. The preseason conference player of the year averaged about 10 points and 7 rebounds per game for Carolina this past season. It is worth noting, Brooks' father is currently an assistant coach at Mississippi State. We'll see if that factors into his decision of where he is going to finish out what has been a pretty solid collegiate career. Now, as Brooks leaves, the men's program, as well as the women's basketball program, added players from the transfer portal over the weekend. Hubert Davis landed his first scholarship player during his head coaching tenure as sophomore Justin McCoy announced he plans to transfer to Carolina from Virginia. The forward and Cary, North Carolina native played regularly for the Cavaliers last season. He will have 2 years of eligibility left. For Courtney Banghart's program, she adds to an impressive incoming freshman class with graduate transfer Eva Hodgson, Hodgson, who is coming from William and Mary. Hodgson sent out this past season due to the coronavirus pandemic, but was stellar in her first 2 years with the Tribe. She was the Colonial Athletic Association's Rookie of the Year in her first year before becoming All-CAA first team as a sophomore. The guard will also have 2 years of eligibility left, and Hodgson shared on social media she plans to pursue her MBA here at Carolina. Finally, the ACC confirmed the date for UNC to begin its football season this fall. Carolina knew it was going to be playing Virginia Tech, but the day had not been confirmed until this morning. Friday, September 3rd is the day to circle on the calendar as Mac Brown's program will be back in action and opening its season on the road in Blacksburg against the Hokies. A time and TV channel will be announced closer to the fall, according to the ACC. Thanks again for tuning in to News on the Hill this Monday afternoon. I am Brighton McConnell. At the Chapel Hill Town Council's latest meeting, council members adopted a new resolution declaring a climate emergency. The resolution requests their town manager develop funding options as part of next year's budget process to better address climate challenges. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger spoke with us here at 97.9 The Hill about this revised climate action plan that comes with this emergency declaration and what it means for future town operations. Here's what she had to say.
We actually declared a climate emergency because we do feel like we've got to act now. John Richardson has been our lead from the town staff. He's done an amazing job of community outreach. It was evident last night when several members of the Sunrise Chapel Barrel came to speak last night, and the fact that John had reached in and worked with them. We had a plan that has been evolving and using best practices and ideas from across the country. We've had interns working for us, researching that information as well, a consultant, to come back with a plan that works for Chapel Hill. Again, you have to benchmark where you are so that you can see if you've made progress. And so we spent time doing that as well. And it was broken into several areas that we can track, and we've got buildings and transportation, energy and land use. And as I keep saying, we've got to do this in partnership with others, because in order to move the needle, everyone's going to have to work together on this, which means we're going to have to change some people's habits and behaviors and invest in our community in ways if we're going to actually make the needle work. And we're going to have to work with our regional partners and the state. Everyone is going to be involved in this. But John's done an amazing job pulling all this together. It's something we can understand and know what works in our community and where we need to focus our energies.
Once again, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger speaking there. If you want to hear that full conversation, the place to go, chapelboro.com, and look on the News on the Hill section. Scroll on through our audio archives until you get to Conversations with the Mayors.